Next thing we want to do is really identify the developmental reality. This is step three. After we've talked about the conflict between their faith and feelings, one of the things that you need to do is really kind of figure out where they are in terms of their same-sex attraction. There's essentially three different areas that we need to be able to discuss. One is either dilemma, development, or decision. Let's start with the first one. In dilemma, this is where an individual is first really coming to knowledge of the struggle of their same-sex attraction. It's at this point where they're starting to feel the sexual attraction towards someone of the same sex. And they realize, based on their church or family or teachings, that this is not the way it's supposed to be, which causes a lot of confusion for them. These attractions, they realize, are not in keeping with the biblical mandate. And as such, they're very confused. This is the dilemma stage, or the developmental reality. For some people, they've gone beyond the dilemma, and they've gone to a development of their same-sex attraction. It's at this level where some individuals have actually acted out their same-sex attractions, that they've actually behaved towards others and actually had same-sex relationships. And at this point, they may have been struggling with the fact that they've gone into this area, and they now are now disclosing to you, the leader, or an individual within the church, that they've actually had some of these behaviors. For some people, it's gone beyond even development. It's gone into a decision. These are individuals who have said, "This is who I am. I am a homosexual." They identify very clearly as gay or lesbian or some other variant, where they are saying, "This is not just what I do, this is who I am." They've accepted this identity. This is a reality for some within our church as well. And again, we realize that there's many discussions that we need to have as to how to relate to these people. But one of the things that you need to do is really help this individual figure out where they are in this developmental reality. Are they at a dilemma where they're still dealing with the attractions and confused by them? Are they at a development where they've acted on their affections and they've actually had certain behaviors? Or are they at the decision where they've accepted and they've identified as a homosexual at this point? Realize, too, some have made a decision towards celibacy. There are many evangelicals that realize that they have these same-sex attractions and that it's a reality that they themselves have to struggle with, but they have chosen to adopt a life of celibacy. We'll talk more about this later as something we also need to discuss within our care and compassion towards that struggle with same-sex attraction. But you may have someone that comes to you at that point as well, where the decision they've made is not to identify as a homosexual, but to identify with a life of celibacy. We'll talk more about that later. Hopefully, as this individual has now come to you, you've had this opportunity to identify where they are developmentally. One of the things you can do next in step four is acknowledge the scripts. Now, when I say scripts, many of you can refer to your drama classes or TV shows where you realize that characters are given scripts, lines that they need to perform for that episode. These are ideas that were written by somebody else that the actor needs to perform. Well, within our culture, whether we realize it or not, there are scripts that we are all given. Maybe not ones that we agree with, but nevertheless, ideas, concepts of how we should live life given to us by our culture. These aren't written down on a piece of paper, but they are definitely communicated in many different ways, whether it be through media, whether it be through the news or politics, within our own local communities, even within our local churches. There are ways of living that we are all presented with. And one of the things that you need to do is help the individual that is struggling with same-sex attraction understand the scripts that are presented to them. One of the ways we can do this is first helping them understand how the mainstream gay community communicates same-sex attraction. Now, when I say mainstream gay community, I'm talking about those communities that accept and affirm homosexuality as a legitimate lifestyle. Again, this can be seen within media, within politics, within our local communities. There is a growing chorus within our community that is accepting homosexuality as legitimate, and they are communicating certain things that individual you're ministering to is picking up, is hearing, is reading off a script, as it were. Some of the things that they're saying is, one, you're born this way. If you have these attractions, then this is clearly part of your biology. Again, it's not within the scope of this session to actually get into some of those debates. As you need to be aware, you'll find a lot more resources available on the website. But that's definitely one of the scripts that's being communicated to those that have same-sex attractions. You were born this way, therefore, it's legitimate. This is who you are. This is yet another script that they're giving, that it's not just about the affections you have or the actions you take, it's the identity that you have. So it's more than just the attractions that they're trying to communicate. If you have the attractions, this is your identity. This is part of who you are. One way you could say that is, as somebody may identify with a certain culture or a certain race. If somebody says, I'm of Norwegian background or I'm of Italian background, that's one aspect of their identity. Well, one of the other aspects that this happens to be is within sexuality. And the mainstream gay community is telling individuals, if you have these same-sex attractions, you are a homosexual. It's part of your identity. They'll say many other things like it's normal. This is not a variant. This is just another type of sexuality. They'll say things like attractions indicate identity. Again, if you feel this way, then you are this way. But most importantly, understand that the mainstream gay community is ultimately affirming, accepting, and loving those who have same-sex attractions. While we realize many of the other things they say we would not agree with, it's this last point that we can understand why so many that struggle with same-sex attraction embrace same-sex activity. Because the community in which they're moving into ultimately says to them, we accept you. Again, what they're accepting them on is something that we as Christians cannot stand for. But I do think that's an important point that we as Christians need to be able to also say, not accepting same-sex actions, but nevertheless accepting the individual who struggles with same-sex attractions. If the mainstream gay community is saying these things like, you're born this way, this is your identity, you're accepted, realize the struggle that this individual is having when they hear the evangelical script. If the mainstream gay community has their script, understand we within the evangelical community, well, we have our script as well. And my intent here is not to say this is the case for every local church. I am painting a bit of a broad stroke here when I say this, but I do think we can look at the evangelical community and say certain things about it, especially as it relates to sexuality and to same-sex attraction. We need to be honest that in some contexts, evangelicals are simply silent when it comes to the issue of sexuality. Not just in the issue of same-sex attraction, but in sexuality in general. Many churches have not been able to look at the truth of God's word as it relates to sexuality, something that God himself created. And unfortunately, when someone who struggles with same-sex attraction comes to the local church and there is silence about sexuality at all, well, they're going to go somewhere else to find help in their time of need. Too often, evangelical churches are silent altogether. Some churches may go beyond silence and talk about sexuality, but in a kind of necessary evil type of way. Some will say that it's something that you, well, yeah, enjoy within marriage, but it's kind of yucky or dirty or gross, and we don't talk about it too much. It's a necessary evil type of idea. You'll see this within some of other Christendom as well, and how they look at sexuality as just simply procreation, something that just helps expand the human race. Well, that's more than silence, but again, put yourself in the shoes of someone who's struggling with the same-sex attraction. If all they've heard within your local church is that sex is a necessary evil, then why would they want to have further discussion regarding their same-sex attraction, if even heterosexual sex is put into that light? We need to really help this individual understand that sex is more than just procreation. Is it most definitely? As you read in Genesis chapter 1, God gives this wonderful command to Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. We see that pattern later in the Old Testament as well. Most definitely, we realize that sex is the means by which God continues humanity. But we read passages in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, And we realize that sex is an enjoyment between a man and a woman for life. If we can say it this way, that sex is not just procreation, but sex is also recreation. It's to be enjoyed. It's a beautiful gift given to the husband and wife for life. Unfortunately, though, I think we need to even go beyond this. And again, one of the other scripts that we often hear within evangelicalism is that homosexuality is a sin and an abomination, which we do need to affirm is true. As I said early on in the sessions, any type of sex outside of God's standard is a sin. So while that's not wrong to say that, many evangelicals go a step further and says that you just need to stop it. Homosexual sin, same-sex attraction is wrong, so stop it. The problem with this type of communication, this type of script, is that it's not just that easy to stop an attraction. All of us struggle with various sins. All of us have different areas in our lives that we struggle with. And how hard is it for us to, one, acknowledge the struggle, and then just to stop it? You and I both know that's just not that easy. And so ultimately, when someone who struggles with same-sex attraction hears that, a lot of shame comes up. They know it's wrong. They know it's against their faith, but they can't stop it. They still have these attractions. And so shame mounts upon shame, and the individual either closes in looking for any help, or they seek acceptance in a different community, often within the mainstream gay community. Like I said before, while we do not justify or agree with any of the statements from the mainstream gay community, one of the things I think they do have right is that they ultimately love and accept people. While we need to stand for truth, one of the things that you can do to minister to someone that is struggling with same-sex attraction is ultimately let them know that while they are struggling, while this is a real conflict for them, they're still loved and accepted. This is the body of Christ ministering to those who are struggling. One of the things that we need to do is help them understand there's a different script. They don't have to listen to culture, that you're born this way, that this is your identity, that this is who you are, whether you like it or not. We can let them know that, yes, this is a struggle. Yes, this is a real problem in your life. But you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, as part of the community of faith, are accepted and loved. We need to help people understand there's a different script. People ultimately that deal with same-sex attraction are looking for help. They may not advertise for it, they may not ask you very directly, but understand there are certain communications that are going up in our culture. One that is telling them, live this life and we'll affirm you. And my hope is that we within the church will let them know, while we don't agree with this lifestyle, while we believe it's against God's clear commands, we still love and accept you, and we want to help you to the next stage. This is what we do in acknowledging the scripts. And in doing so, we really provide an avenue to take them to the next level, to really help them understand that while we don't accept their actions or the behaviors that are against God's clear plan, we do accept them. We've often heard the phrase, hate the sin, love the sinner. And it's often hard to do with other people. But may I encourage us to realize we actually do this every day with the person we look at in the mirror. I'm okay with me. I realize I still sin, though, but I still try. I still work towards it. And may I encourage us to put that same love and care towards other people, that we truly hate the sin, but we truly love the sinner.